Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, May 2nd, 2011. We'll begin the meeting today with an invocation that will be led by Commissioner Alfred, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance given by Commissioner Arnold, if you'll ride with me.
If you don't mind, would you please bow your heads? Lord, we come before you one more time asking that you give us that divine wisdom that it takes to make sure we propel our county in the right direction, not only this court, but every elected leader in Jefferson County. Lord, we come to you thanking you for having tremendous military force. We come to you asking that you put your loving arms around their family. And we come to you saying that we are so proud to be Americans. Lord, we ask these blessings in your darling son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Be seated. Okay, we'll begin with agenda items today under purchasing. Item A is to approve specifications for invitations for bid for Ford Park Roof Project for Jefferson County. This is a project that's going to be funded by the Texas Department of Rural Affairs Disaster Grant Program funding. Item B is to approve specifications for the IFB for bridge replacement project at 27th Street and the Lower Neches Valley Authority Canal in Mid-County. Item C, D, and E, Commissioner Arnold had notified me that he is going to recuse himself from voting on those issues. Item C is to consider and approve a proposal for a lease. It's actually for a letter of intent for a lease. Is that correct? For property located at 4575 Jerry Ware Drive at the airport with Cushman and Wakefield on behalf of SGS North America Inc., and that's for the old Air National Guard facility on Jerry Ware Drive at the airport. Item D is to consider and approve a commission agreement with Coldwater Banker Commercial Arnold and Associates in the amount of 4% of the total base rents for the Jefferson County owned property located on Jerry Ware Drive, and payments will be delayed until March of 2012. Item E is to consider and approve a commission agreement with Cushman and Wakefield in the amount of 4% of the total base rents for the Jefferson County owned property located at Jerry Ware Drive, which will be payable upon execution of a lease and half at occupancy, and half at execution of the lease and half at occupancy. We have a motion on those items.
Moved
by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Do I have any discussion?
Judge, Commissioners, if it pleases the court, give you a little background on this. Of course, most of you are more familiar with it than I. For the last 2 years, this been working diligently to try to get this building leased. And it's been shown numerous times over the past 2 years, but it really never came to reality. The building is in great need of repair and updating in order to become leasable. Most significantly, the HVAC is in real bad shape. Restrooms are not in ADA compliance. The interior structure needs to be restored. The roof, interior, paint and flooring, miscellaneous repairs to the windows, ceiling tiles, wiring, lighting, etc. You know, cost estimates anywhere from, you know, $130,000 to $175,000, depending on the extent of the repairs. Through the help of our broker, Sherry Arnold with Coldwell Banker, and, they've been working real hard on this for the last, real diligently in the last 2 months, really trying to get this thing moving. And they've secured a company through a letter of intent to come in and take the building as is, whereas basis, and invest their own money into the building for the repairs, and then do a little bit more. So there's some advantages to the county. One, there's no upfront payment for repairs or renovations. We got guaranteed lease rental for 10 years, you know, income, lease income for 10 years, property tax income, reimbursement for our insurance expense, capital improvements, the biggest thing to this facility, which, Cherry, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, over $1 million to that, close to $2 million on that building. And so, when you think about that being put back on the tax rolls, that's a good thing. And then no more utility payments on this building sitting there empty for the birds to fly around in. So I'm real happy about that. And I guess the best thing about it is we have a viable company that's going to come in and have some job retention with their place of business, and you know, potential additional jobs coming on board. So very pleased. Sherry, thank you for your diligent effort and your staff working through this deal. And the county is very appreciative of you delaying your payment until March of 2012 in light of our budget situation. And we really appreciate all your work on this. So thank you.
Any other discussion?
Ms. Goodrich, just please let the records reflect, as the judge indicated, that I recused myself on item C, D, and E under purchase.
Yes, ma'am. Items E and G under county commissioners are going to be taken off the agenda. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously under county commissioners. Like to table item A until next week. Hopefully we're going to get some rain this week, but we've still got, I believe, 219 out of 254 counties in Texas are under a burn ban right now. Every morning when I turn on my computer, the emails just come pouring in of different fires and areas around here and very close to here and all across the state, frankly. So I think we need to leave that burn ban in place at present. Item B is to receive and file amendment number 3 to TDRA contract DRS 010219 for CDBG Disaster Recovery Non-Entitlement Grant Program. Item C is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Mental Health and Older Americans Month, and we're going to have a speaker on that, which I believe are Anita Morrow and Jana Fulbright. Item D is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Elder Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, and we're going to have Miss Stephanie Williams here on that item. Item F is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for May as National Drug Court Month. And Judge Thorne, you or whoever wants to talk about Drug Month can come up at that point. Item H is to receive and file an interlocal agreement between the City of Nederland and Jefferson County regarding repair and maintenance of streets in Nederland. Item I is to consider and approve local prosecuting authority agreement with the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, Office of the Inspector General. The purpose of the local prosecuting authority agreement is to establish the terms and conditions for the purpose of assisting to defray cost of prosecutions as authorized by the local government code in the course of referral of cases from HHSC OIG to the local prosecuting authority, which basically means some payment by the state to the district attorney's office for their assistance in prosecuting food stamp and other forms of entitlement fraud. By addendum, item J, to consider authorizing county judge to execute an extension of the National Emergency Grant Contract NEG 08041001 through June 30th, 2011. This will extend the period during which these NEG workers are paid for by federal disaster funding through the local workforce commission. Items K and L are to consider and possibly approve and receive and file a mutual aid agreement between Jefferson County and the Jefferson County Water Control and Improvement District Number 10. Do I have a motion on those items? A second? Been moved by Commissioner Alford and seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Is there any discussion on any of those items? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those items carry unanimously. This time I would ask for, if Ms. Morrow and Ms. Fulbright would like to come up, I'd like to ask Commissioner Alford if he would mind reading the proclamation for mental health in older Americans.
Sure thing, Judge. This is a proclamation for Mental Health and Older Americans Month. Whereas healthy individuals and healthy communities are essential elements of any strong and vibrant society. Our neighborhoods are enhanced by the older adults in Jefferson County, who are the root and from which the community grow. And whereas mental illness affect people of all ages, backgrounds, and all and all status of life, although it is our normal, it is not our normal aging, it is not normal of aging. And whereas the elderly, the earlier detected diagnosis and treatment of mental health problems greatly increased the likelihood of restoring mental health. And whereas mental health problems are real and common, and is important to remember that recovery is possible, and individuals and mental health problems can live full productive lives. And whereas a majority of the people who overcome the fears, discriminations, or misunderstandings of mental disorders and who seek professional help find relief following retreatment. And whereas caring for your mind as well as your body is great for your all-around health and is a key to success at home and at work. And whereas a serious need exists for providing adequate and equitable health care coverage for mental disorders. And whereas Southeast Texas Coalition of Mental Health and Aging provide opportunities for professionals, customers, nonprofit, community, and government agencies to work together towards improving the availability and quality of mental health prevention and treatment strategies in older Americans and their families through education, coordination of services, and increased public awareness. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County, Texas, does hereby proclaim May 2011 as the Older Americans Month and National Mental Health Month. We urge every citizen, government agency, public and private industry, business, and schools in Jefferson County to commit to increase awareness of and understanding of mental illness and need the appropriate services for all people, but especially for older Americans with mental illness. Signed this day, the second day of May, by the Honorable Jeff Brandt, County Judge, the Honorable Eddie Honor, Precinct 1 Commissioner, the Honorable Brent Weaver, Precinct 2 Commissioner, the Honorable Michael Senegal, Precinct 3 Commissioner, and yours truly, Everett Alford, Precinct 4 Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Come on, come on.
My name is Anita Morrow, and I work with Spindletop Center. I'm accepting the proclamation today on behalf of the Southeast Texas Coalition on Mental Health and Aging. We're a relatively new coalition. We've started about this time last year, and our purpose is to educate the community about mental health disorders and appropriate services for people over 50. The idea, and I always get a look when I say over 50, but as we age, 50 has become the new older age. And as our country and our community is aging at a fast pace, that's something that we need to look at more often. In Southeast Texas, the number of older adults with mental disorders are first of all, the people with mental health disorders are expected to quadruple from 4 million in 1970 to 15 million by 2030. Here in Jefferson County, 2,600 adults received mental health services from Spindletop Center. We expect that to increase. What we hope would come out of this is that older people are getting proper services. And what we see is that older Americans usually receive services from their medical doctors. And that's a good thing. But sometimes the mental health aspect is being overlooked. And so we want to educate the community in general about mental health disorders. In your packet, you have information about the coalition itself, our mission, our goals for this upcoming year. There's a list in there of the current members because we are a coordination of services. So that's in there as well. Also, some information about crisis services are in there and mental health services for our area for Southeast Texas. Are there any questions?
Yes. As far as Alzheimer's, is that considered a mental illness, or what services do y'all provide for that?
Alzheimer's disease is not considered a mental illness as far as what we treat at Spindletop Center. However, the Alzheimer's Association is a part of our coalition because it is a medical condition that affects the mind. And so the Alzheimer's Association does partner with us in this coalition.
Right, and a lot of time the caretakers of Alzheimer's patient is the one that needs a lot of sometimes a break in different things. Is there services that you provide to give them some type of relief? A lot of times that's where the strain comes in.
Right, I'm glad you asked that question. Alzheimer's Association actually just created some classes to help caregivers of people who have mental health disorders, because it really is a support system that's needed. And so Alzheimer's Association has just trained a group of people, and they will continue to have other trainings for caregivers, for people to volunteer to assist caregivers for their Alzheimer's consumers.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Any other questions? Pardon me?
Get all of us, huh?
No, I'm 38, man.
I'm close myself. So. Also, there's one other thing in the packet that I'd like to bring out, and that is on the 22nd of this month, we are proclaiming that as Purple Sunday, and we're asking for churches to give some information on mental health disorders. And so I have information in there if you know of any churches that would like more information so that they can give out to their congregants, we would love to help.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morrow, Ms. Fulbright. Thank y'all for the wonderful job that you do at Spindletop in serving all the people of Southeast Texas, not just in Jefferson County, but in about 10 or 11 counties that come down here. So. Next, Ms. Williams. And I'd ask that Commissioner Weaver read the proclamation on elder abuse prevention and awareness. Ms. Williams here? Anybody here on behalf of the elder abuse prevention awareness month? Well, I think we'll just hold it until next week. Okay. The next one is going to be a proclamation naming May as National Drug Court Month. Commissioner Weaver can read that one. And you can come up, Judge Thorne, with whoever you want to bring up. Chief Stott.
Hey. Go ahead. Over 50 is the new.
We're going to read, or I'm going to talk.
I'll go ahead and read your proclamation, right, Judge, and then you can have the mic. Have in front of me a proclamation in support of National Drug Court Month presented by Jefferson County Commissioner's Court. Whereas drug courts are a proven budget solution that benefit all facets of society, and whereas drug courts are an essential component of our justice system which save vast criminal justice resources and return individuals to their community as productive taxpaying citizens, and whereas drug courts are the most efficient tool in the criminal justice system for saving money, cutting crime, and serving veterans, and whereas results of more than 100 program evaluations and at least four meta-analytic studies have yielded definitive evidence that drug courts significantly improve substance abuse treatment outcomes, substantially reduce drug abuse and crime, and do so at less expense than any other justice strategy. And whereas drug courts facilitate community-wide partnerships, bring together public safety and public health professionals in the fight against drug abuse and criminality, and whereas the drug court movement has grown from the 12 original drug courts in 1994 to over 2,500 operational drug courts, and whereas drug courts demonstrate that when one person rises out of drugs and crime, we all rise, and whereas the time has come to put a drug court within reach of every eligible person in need, and whereas May 16th through the 20th marks National Drug Court Commencement Week, which celebrates the promise and recovery and restored hope to drug court graduates and their family. Now therefore be it resolved that Jefferson County Commissioners Court declares a drug court month to be established during the month of May 2011, recognizing the significant contributions drug courts have made toward reducing substance abuse, crime, and recidivism while saving valuable resources. Judge?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm Judge Larry Thorne, Judge of the 317th District Court. Jefferson County is doing extremely well in with respect to the drug courts. We've got three here. Probably the criminal drug court was, I believe, the first in the state. We've got a family law drug court that deals with abuse and neglect. And then Judge Shelton has really started an innovative juvenile drug court that's doing extremely well. With respect to the family law drug court that I deal with, it's incredible the amount of savings that the family law drug court gives to the county. If you think about it, $700 a month costs for every foster child in Jefferson County, $700 a month. That's $8,400 a year. We have 250 foster children presently in Jefferson County. And a little bit of math, and that's over $2 million a year. Family law drug court keeps those kids out of foster care. We place them with either a family member or the person that we're dealing with in the drug court. It's an incredibly successful program. We have been so successful, even in the economic times that we're in, the state is still funding us with grants, so I think that says a lot for the program. I would like to invite all of you to a graduation we have on May 12th. I believe we're going to graduate five. It's the largest group we've graduated. And that should be at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 on that date. Thank you very much. I'll turn it over to either Judge Shelton or Mr. Stott.
Thank you, Judge. Judge, Commissioners, my name is Jim Stott. I'm the Director of the Adult Probation Department here in Beaumont. And there is nothing, other than seeing your own kids graduate from high school, there is nothing more rewarding than a drug court graduation. We've been extremely fortunate here in Jefferson County. I believe we were one of the very first in the state to have a drug court. We began ours in 1993. And since that time, we have helped countless thousands of people with drug problems. I have Cindy Cherry here, who is our drug court manager. I'd like to turn it over to her and let her tell you a little bit about our program.
We've actually served over 2,500 people in our drug court program since our inception in 1993. We graduate around 90 people a month over the last, 90 people a month, man, that would be great, 90 people a year over the course of the last few years when we increased our numbers to about 175 at any given time is in our program. We will have graduation on May the 18th at 4 o'clock in the jury and paneling room. And as Mr. Stott said, that is one of the most rewarding moments you could ever be in. We have people that come into our program who live out of their car. We have people who come into our program who were trying to kill themselves with their drug use. And it is so rewarding to see them at a graduation ceremony where they, for one solid year, have done for more, but have really had to work to change their lifestyle, their behaviors, their choices, how they deal with situations, and to have their family there supporting them, and to have the opportunity for them to apologize to their family for all the heartache and despair that they have brought to them over the course of their lifetime. We assess about 650 people each year to see who's appropriate for our program, and we normally serve around 400 each year. Some don't make it. They don't want to change. We have to drop them and go on to other things. But the ones who stick it out, you'll hear them say, "This is the longest I've ever held a job. I'm taking my kids to the park. I'm proud. They're proud of me now as their father. My siblings and I are getting along." That's what we're looking for. We're trying to turn out good citizens. And then it comes back to you right before Christmas. One of our counselors got a graduation invitation from college. A young man who had gone through our program 4 years ago, graduating from U of H, and said, "Thank you for allowing me to get my life on track so I could be here on this day to graduate." And some of our clients came today because they wanted to be a part of this ceremony. So thank you for having us, and I'll turn it over to Judge Shelton.
Thank you, Commissioners, and Judge, for the proclamation and for your support. The juvenile drug court is kind of a ragtag operation. We operate on a shoestring budget. Treating juveniles for substance abuse is different than treating adults. They're developmentally, they're in a different place. Some of our kids are just so deprived, not just of some services, but just even a real solid family environment. We buy a big cookie for the kids as they graduate through the different phases. And one of them told me that that's the first time that he's ever had anything like a cookie or a birthday cake or anything like that. So anyway, we have tried to be innovative. We've just found a drug test for testing for the synthetic marijuana, and we used it on one of our kids just in the last couple of weeks, and we did indicate that was used. So you should have seen all my kids' eyes when they found out that we had that test. So anyway. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for being so supportive of the program, and I'd extend an invitation if you ever would like to come out and see it. We meet with the kids almost every week, and we drug test them in the beginning about three times a week. So we really stay on top of our kids. Thank you.
Now, Ms. Cherry, are these people who are here today part of the family drug court treatment program, or?
Over at adult probation, and we normally have group on, we offer morning, afternoon and evening groups, and they have a group on Monday at 1:30, and so today we called field trip and came over here to show them what Commissioner's Court was like, and also the important, I mean, this is why we do this, is for people who come in here and want to work hard at changing their life, and I appreciate that they came over here just to be part of this moment.
Yeah, thank you for being here today, and thank you for taking steps to take charge of your life and to get a hold of the problem. I'm proud of everything you've done. I think I have to speak for the court and say we're proud of everything that you're doing. Anything from any other member of the court? And Sheriff, Sheriff Woods, I don't think that I had ever heard of bath salts until last week, and I heard about it, I think, last Monday or Tuesday, and then by Thursday through today, we're just inundated with people coming in for mental health detention warrants because the people that are getting on bath salts are just going out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's been a brisk business just in the last few days. It's something I didn't know about 7 or 8 days ago. You have anything you want to say about that, Sheriff?
There's been a huge effort put towards addressing that problem in the last couple of years as it relates to not only the bath salts, but the K2, the spice, the synthetic cannabinoids, the synthetic marijuana, basically. There's legislation pending right now to make the bath salts. It's already been legislation underway to deal with the spice, the K2, the synthetic cannabinoids. There's also legislation right now dealing with the bath salts. We're kind of watching that, hoping that it goes through the legislature to give law enforcement the tools they need to deal with this problem. The DEA has done some emergency things related to that, but that's right now that's just a temporary one-year fix on a federal level, but I'm hoping this legislation goes through and it will give local law enforcement here in the state of Texas the tools we need to deal with it. But it's a problem that's been off everyone's radar. It's a horrible problem. It's a growing problem. The effects that it's had on people and pretty devastating effects in a short period of time, as you've seen firsthand now. So there's a lot of people that have been touched by this problem, and I suspect many more before we're able to get our arms around it.
That's been extremely ugly, the picture that's been painted of the people who have been taking it, you know, extremely paranoid delusions, right. Threats of suicide, homicidal threats. It's just...
The problem is, as you well know, I mean, there's nobody really knows exactly what's in the substances that get put together and marketed. There's never been any qualitative or quantitative studies on this stuff to know what the long-term effects are on you or how much of it is bad for a particular person and for anyone. And so it's kind of been an unknown. The internet, the underground information system, and through the internet, that information amongst the drug culture of using that stuff is just taking off like crazy out there. And so, older adults like us, me, kind of out of touch with some of that stuff. And the sad thing is, by the time we realize what a problem is, it's almost too late. It's already affected so many people.
Right, and Sheriff, what I found out last week about that bath salt is that the traditional drug testing is not showing the drug.
Correct.
And some parents are going out and doing the traditional drug testing, the hair follicle test, and they're just wasting money. So I don't know whose job is it or how do we make these parents aware that which facility in the county that they should...
There are some very smart people behind the marketing, behind the development, and the distribution of this stuff. The distribution started because the people that were involved in it knew that it was not illegal. It didn't meet the legal definitions of a controlled substance. They knew that. They knew what the effects were when they started marketing it, that it would have the same effects on people as marijuana. The bath salts is the same way. It's not the components of it, the chemical components in it are not in themselves illegal. That's what we're hoping will be addressed with this legislative session now that comes up, that we'll be able to deal with those things at that time.
Scary. Thank you.
All right. Then we'll move on to items on the agenda under the county auditor. Item A will be removed from the agenda. Item B is to receive and file official transcript for Jefferson County refunding bond series 2011. Item C is to consider and possibly approve a budget transfer, general services, additional cost, $150,000 from liability insurance to termination allowance. Item D is to consider and approve budget amendment for Roden Bridge Precinct 4 for the summer nutrition program, $5,000 from asphalt to $5,000 contractual services. Item E is regular county bills, check numbers 352530 through 352775. Do I have a motion on those items? Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And that will complete our agenda for today's court session. Are there any members of the court that have any additional items they'd like to discuss?
Yeah, Judge, Chris Owens gave one thing.
May 12th and May 18th. Okay. Anything else? All right, we are adjourned. Thank you for being here, ladies and gentlemen.